Today's daf is Shabbos, daf Samach Hei, and we are on Samach Dalet Amud Beis. We'll pick up a couple of lines up from the bottom, but first there are a couple of points to talk about from yesterday's Amud Beis. First of all, the Mishnah talks about that a woman can go out with a peyah nachris to a chatzer. Women go out with a wig to a chatzer, and we're not worried that she's going to take it off because this is there's no chashash, because she wouldn't want to uncover her hair in public. So this is one of their Talmudic sources for the concept of wearing a wig, of wearing a sheitel for a woman. The Shulti Giborim, right here on this Mishnah, on Daf Chav Tesam and Aleph and the Daf Yarif, says, Yirem ma mizeh lohavi raya v'smach l'nashim hayotzos b'kisui saro shalohen k'shei nesuos. This is a makar. Avo b'makam kliya sara nosos saros chavrosehen. They wear their friend's hair. Shekorin krinolor balaz. Behita shaninu, and he quotes the Mishnah, and he says, ki apia nachris hi migba'as, yidbeku boseyar no'eh. Right? Knife's hair is put together. Vaharbei, vitasim osaha isha al rosha, kadesha tiskashet beseyar. Vahasam beisha nesua mairi b'masisun. We're talking about isha nesua, as it says, shal tiskan al baila, as we said yesterday at the end of the Amud. Umashmalahedya, and it's explicitly, explicitly implies umash belahedya shemutaros benos yisraelis kashi bahem to say the big kasha is its hair, right? Say abisha erva, we learned the beseches brachas, right? So it should have to have a covering. Is this a covering? It must be, says the Shulti Giborim, to say abisha erva de kaamar lohavi ela beseir hadavuk lipsara mamish. Say abisha erva only means seir when it is still attached to the body. It's not attached to the body anymore. It's no longer Seyar. Right? Say, nobody's going to say Seyar in the drain is going to be Seyar B'Isha Erva. Right? So Seyar on hair. So also, once it's not attached, it loses its definition of Erva. Right? It's unlike other types of Erva, which are objective. It can't lose the status. But here it loses the status once it is not Davuk anymore. Venere gam Besara ima Seyar. Even if the Besara is seen with the Seyar, it is not a problem. Aval Seyar amachas Seyra. Ain kan mishum seir b'isha erva, v'gam lo mishum pruas rosh, v'nira deloshna sairos dida, v'loshna sairos shel chaverta. He even says she can make a sheitel out of her own hair. Ko od da'avidui l'kisi ha-seir v'hein telushos. As long as they're detached. Av apit da'kishud hula. Even though it makes her look beautiful, there are nice sheitels. Kadesha teira e'ba'alas seir, ain b'kach klum v'shapir dami. That is the Shulti Giborim, right, a great grandson of the Tosfos Rid, of Yeshua Boaz. Anyway, that is one of the earliest sources that we have that tells us about Sheitel. Says the Ramah. The Ramah discusses as well in Hilchas Kriyashma. That's where a lot of the discussion of Sheitels is. We'll get to the post in a minute. But says the Ramah. The context of Hilchas Kriyashma is not about what the Chiyuv of Kisui Rosh is. That's just about what am I allowed to say Kriyashma in front of. That is the context of Kisui Rosh in Simen Ayin Hei. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Seir Shel Isha, Shedarka Lachasoso, Aser Likros Kenegda, Afilu Ishto. If there is hair that is normally covered, so that it's the status of an erva, then I can't say Kriyashma in front of it. Avol besulo shedark and lele pruas rosh mutter. An unmarried woman is mutter. Says the Ramah, vehu adin asaros shel nashim sheregilum mateis chum simton. We'll get back to that in a minute. But then the Ramah says, vekol shekain seyar nachris afilu dark alachasos. Right, kol shekain seyar peyanachris, a wig, it is for sure no problem to say Kriyashma in front of. That is the Ramah, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Mother Prima Gadim. Bebedino sheyotzer anasha bepeyanachris megula yeshlam lismoch al shulchan aruch umashem bidei deshav afilu seir shel atzma shenachla vakach chibur larosha gamkein yeshlam hakel. They quote the kula based on the Gemara of the Shulti Giborim. Again, lamaisa the poskim. So it depends who the poskim. Certain Sephardic poskim are more against peyanachris, limiting this Gemara, Rav Avadi and others, but the Ramosha notes that the Minhag HaOlam is to be Mekel, and there's nothing wrong with being Mekel L'Chadchila. That's Ramosha already in a Tshuva in 1962, where he talks about Hanachlani as Daiti, Af She'ika Man Dechoshesh L'Eser Peyanachris B'Shem Maris Hayin. Right, there are those that aser it, right? And why? Because I remember my wife had a story when she was in medical school, and they all knew that she Thank you. They all knew that why she covers her hair, and then one time she always wore a hat. So one time, her third or fourth year, when she was going to be on the floor, so she wore a shetel one day. And one of the non-Jewish Christian guys in the medical school class says, oh, you're not married anymore. Right? And she says, no, I'm married. She made a conscious decision. She wasn't going to fake it. She didn't want to be hypocritical in terms of Orthodox Jewry. He says, what do you mean? You're not covering your hair anymore. She says, yes, I am. All of a sudden, it dawned on him. So some might bring the raya. Oh, haraya, that there's a problem. The answer is no. It's a din of erva. It's a din of covering. Is the hair covered? Yes, the hair is covered. Is the seir beisha that's detached? No, it's not an erva. So Mikol Makom says Rav Moshe, Rov Raboseinu, v'gam me'ilu shesomchin ikari ara aleihem matirim, v'hem hara masham u'besimin shin gimel b'darkei Moshe v'amagad Avram v'chein mashma gam me'hagra shesoverkein. Right, a question. Muchrach me'al gemara perkba me'isha. It's muchrach. It's mukhach from our Mishnah and our Gemara. The Sham Dim Ayri at the Yosef Yadachar is Dafka bin Mechusa, the Chulu. Vatam Pashut. Shekiva Shalomatzinu be Gemara Shasru. Ein Lamelef. Mi Mekomos Acherim. Shasru. Mi Shemaris Ayin. The Gemara didn't say there's a Maris Ayin issue. So we don't make up any our own Maris Ayin issues. Dein Lamelef. Chad Miidach. Lachach Nomar Isser Maris Ayin. Be Yichud be Chodavar Shasru. Uve Peyanachar is Vadai. Ein Lamelef. Chada deinze iser lav el iser asay dalaiish al yotznuos and lachasos rosha viod mishum derov pamim nikar shasiris hemi peyanachris. And most of the time you can tell, and even if men can't tell, women generally can tell. Why do you go by the men? Women can generally tell if it's a sheitel or not. V'avameinu nikar la'anashim, she'im estaklin kol kach b'nashim, v'kal makam l'anashim v'adai nikar, beruba deruba, v'ulai gam kulon nikaros. Okay, Rav Moshe lived in the 1960s. You know, the sheitels, the later generations, babe. But l'maisa, ruba deruba, can't tell. V'lachein b'shvil mashin is damin, l'f'amim d'rechokos, shalo nikar lo asru. Right, and that is it. He says, I'll bring you another raya. He says, why are men allowed to shave today? Maris Ayin, they used a razor. Maris Ayin, right, to get such a close shave. But we don't say that. We don't say it. We say people understand that people use electric shavers to shave their face. So people understand that people cover, even though it doesn't look like it always, but that doesn't matter. The issue isn't recognizing. The issue is, number one, is it erva? Even if it is that issue, most are recognizable, at least to the women. And number two, is it din of erva? And the hair is covered, and there's no erva, according to the Shulchan Gibborim. That, because it is detached. And he quotes a lot of other reasons as well. I guess it was a wife that wanted to wear a sheitel, and the husband wasn't so thrilled. You can't stop your wife. Wow. Goes on to the chumrah here. It's her issue. She wants to wear a sheitel. The husband cannot say, she can't. Double covering, forget it, for sure. Anyways, that is the Rav Moshe, again, in Chelek Beis, Simin Yubeis. But he should make her a din, a sheitel is 100% font. Lubavitch Rebbe writes a lot about this in his Ksavim, as is known, that the Lubavitch Rebbe felt that was the best type of covering, because that doesn't leave out any hair. The best type of covering. The Aruch HaShulchan, the misquoted Aruch HaShulchan, if you look inside, does not say anything about not covering one's hair. The Aruch HaShulchan in Simen Ayin Hei says, because many women in our day and age do not cover their hair, even Jewish women, Rachmana Litzlan, therefore you can say Kriya Shema in front of their hair. Because that's not the same type of erva as other parts of the body, which is an objective erva, that even if most women in the world walk around not covering that part of the body, you can't say Kriya Shema in front of it. Hair is a different type of erva, and that's why the Aruch HaShulchan says that one can be makel in terms of Kriya Shema. But he screams. He screams about the fact that that's done. Chas v'shalom. He's quoted as saying, oh, you don't cover your hair, Bizman HaZeh. The Aruch HaShulchan does not say that. Chas v'shalom. The Aruch HaShulchan says clearly that a woman has to cover her hair, just the status of erva has changed today because many women do not. If I can find it here in a minute, I'll read it. If not, we will continue. I said I'd get back to, okay, I don't know if I have it here, but I said I'd just get back to the other Ha'ara, and that's the line in the Ramah. to quote another Reb Moshe, once we're on Reb Moshe, about covering the hair, the line of the Ramah is also, you're going to say Kriya Shema in front of the little bit that sticks out. Right? Masha Ragilim Latseis Michutz Latsimtan. The little bit that goes out. That's a Rashba. The Rashba says there's a little bit that goes out. So how much is a little bit? So the Chassam Sofer, another post can say, there's a Hidur based on a Gemara about a woman who, the Isha Kimchis, that the walls of her house never saw her hair. It sounds like even a strand. Okay, so that is what some want to cover every part of every hair. That's fine, Matova Manoim. That's the Shita of the Chassam Sofer and others based on a Gemara. But the Rashba says, a little bit could come out. So how much is a little bit? So most post can don't give a shear, just a little bit. A little bit means a little bit. That doesn't mean a little bit covered. A little bit means a little bit uncovered. So Rav Moshe says one square tefach. That's Rav Moshe. You got to do the math. One square tefach. You have a little bit in front. You got less than back. A little bit. It's like, I mean, the way he says it, I think it's two etzbos. Two etzbos across. So that is the shita of Rav Moshe. Again, there's a lot more here, but we're going to continue. That's Rav Moshe's shita. If you want to look it up, I have the Rav Moshe writes this in Eben HaEzer, Chelek Aleph, Simen Nun Ches. Simen Nun Ches, that's where he talks about the shear of Michutz LeSimtan. Okay, here it is. Even though the Chassam Sofer is very, very strong, he says, but still, basically a square tefach altogether, which is two fingers across. That is Rav Moshe's shita. Okay, again, there's a lot more, as I said, but we will continue. So that is point number one from yesterday in terms of the Peah Nachras. The other important issue I'll wait to talk about in terms of Moksha Shebe'ozna that comes up on today's daf. So we'll wait to talk about that. One other ha'ara on the bottom, and then we'll continue. And that is the Rav quoted that the only two that one is allowed to go to a chatzer with all the items in the Mishnah that are usher to wear, because chashash, one might take them off, so one is not allowed to even go to a chatzer with them, except for two. The Kavol and Peah Nachras Shlo Tisgana Abayla. Right, so she doesn't become Megunet to her husband, and the husband doesn't come in and divorce her, and that was Rabbi Akiva, that also during Bishas Nidus, she has to be able to put on makeup, so that Shlo Tisgana Abayla. So we mentioned from some of the Achronim, that the Rabbi Yaakov Emden and others, it doesn't mean that this is the cause. This could be the Makom HaPatish. This could be the final step. Rachman al-Islan. If there's an iffy, shaky relationship, so Rabbi Akiva doesn't want to take any chances. This relates to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's thought in Parshas Kisetze, which we mentioned a number of years ago, and that is, he quotes the Mishnah at the end of Maseches Gittin, the very startling Mishnah on the surface, where the Mishnah talks about what's the basis for divorce? Last Mishnah in Gittin. Beis Hillel Omrim, Afilo Ikdicha Tavshilo. Even if she burns the food. Burns the food? This is Beis Hillel we're talking about. Even Beis Shammai, if you could say such a thing. Ikdicha Tavshilo. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Afilo Matza Acheres Nohimena. Even if you find a nicer one. So Rabbi Akiva, the same Rabbi Akiva in our Gemara that's so worried. Afilo Matza Acheres Nohimena. So obviously there's a lot more going on here than meets the eye. So Rabbi Yaakov's pshat is that every person in life, we each have to feel that our spouse is the only one in the world. We have the ultimate perfect relationship, and they have to feel like our other hand. And if my right hand bangs my left hand and does something, so I'm not, the right hand's not going to get mad at the left hand, because we're all one unit. We're one goof. V'im kein, imhu margish. And if we don't feel that way, that is not a siba, but is a simen. It's a reflection that I have a lot more to work on. That there's a problem here. If I get upset at something that my spouse does, simenu eino margish eso ichud beinam karoi vein zivukam ol yafe. So says Rabbi Yaakov, what is this Mishnah saying? Even if she burns the food, nah, chas v'shalom, if that's a cause. No, it's a simen. If I got upset at my wife because she burns the food, that's a simen that we have a lot to work on, because there's a danger. There's a danger lurking. Not that these are reasons for divorce. These are simonim that if a person doesn't gets upset and he doesn't act to strengthen the relationship because of in this state, so then there's the danger of chas v'shalom something occurring. But that's the all of these cases. Even now, charis be mad. There's nobody. It's only right like the part that the Bali Musar say. We say in the Sheva Brachas, right? Kegan Eden. You have to feel like Adam and Chav in Gan Eden. What's Gan Eden? Because at that time there was nobody else in the world. Adam and Chava felt, honey, you're the only one in the world to me. Right? Because they were the only ones in the world. Right? So that's how we have to feel. Every chas of the kala. That's it. The only ones in the world. That's the bracha that we give them. And if we don't feel that way, so says Rabbi Yaakov, that's a reflection similar to here. It's fascinating putting the Rabbi Akivas together. Rabbi Akiva here is so wide, but just got our bylaw with that Rabbi Akiva on the last daf tzadi in Meseches Gittin. Good. Rabbi Akiva's personality, we spoke about a couple of days ago also. Rabbi Akiva in terms of crying on Shabbos. Remember we mentioned Rabbi Akiva cried on Shabbos when he used to read Shir HaShirim. The Taz said that's the type of crying you're allowed to do on Shabbos. Put that together with the other Rabbi Akivas when he didn't cry when he saw the wolf walking over Har Abayis, or whatever animal that was. Or the other times that they didn't cry when he went to visit his Rebbe on his deathbed and he laughed. We spoke about that Gemara. Rabbi Akiva did cry when he thought it was appropriate to cry. It wasn't just that he wasn't an emotional person. But it's fascinating to focus on when he cried, what made him cry, and what didn't make him cry. Okay. Five lines for the bottom. Am Rabbi Yehuda Marav. Says Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav. Anytime Chazal asks something, Mishum Maris Ayin. So even Bechadri Chadar, Maris Ayin, says Rav, is not only in a public place where one is visible, even in private. If it's an act that was asked by Chazal, that act per se is forbidden, and therefore even Bechadri Chadarim, it is us. It's reviewed on Marav. We mentioned in the past that it's Maris Ayin, not Maris Ha'enayim. Because that's the problem. People are only looking with one eye. It's Maris Ayin. If you look at both eyes, you'd realize the whole story and you wouldn't be choshed other people. But if the problem is Maris Ha'ayin, and that's what leads to issues. So, any place where Chachamim Aser, because of Maris Ayin, is Aser always. Tanan, is that really true? We learned in our Mishnah, Velo Bezug Avapisha Pakuk. Right, we learned in the previous parak, we spoke about all the items that animals are allowed to wear or not wear. An animal's not allowed to go out with a bell, even though it's closed up, and there's no issue of Hashmas Ko. Still, an animal's not allowed to go out with that. Vitanya Idach, but the other Brisa says, Pokek Lazug Betsavara Umutaili Mabachatzer. That he's allowed to go out with a zug on his neck in the chatzer, where there is no Maris Ayin issue. Right, so what do you mean? I thought if there's a Maris Ayin issue, it should be also even b'chadri chadarim. That's the stira. So where is this tanoi? Really, Rav is a machlokas tanoim. Rav's issue, whether Maris Ayin is usher even in private, that is a machlokas tanoim. De tanya, the Brisa says, shotchan b'chama avalo kenegad ha'am. If somebody soaks their clothing, if somebody gets caught in the rain on Shabbos, and their clothing is soaked, so they are allowed to put it in the sun in the backyard, but not where people could see it. Why? Because there's Maris Ayin. People might think that you wash your clothes on Shabbos, so that is why one is not allowed to put it in a public area where people see soaked clothes. Avalo kenegad ha'am, but you cannot put it where people could see it. Rabbi Eliezer, or Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Osrin, even Bachama, right? Even in a private place in your backyard because of Rav's issue, right? This line is the basis for the Issud Rabbanan that we hold of, quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that if I have a beged that got saturated, that is soaking wet, and it's visibly soaking. It's not that just you look at it and you can tell it's wet, but nobody else can. But if there is a beged that is visibly soaking, I am not allowed to hang it in the place where I usually put just freshly laundered clothing. Let's say I get back and I got caught in the rain and my shirt is soaking wet. So I'm going to put my shirt on a hanger, I'm going to put it in the laundry room to dry. It's an Issud Rabbanan. Issud Rabbanan to put it in a place where items are usually washed. If I'm going to put it on a doorknob, if I just want it to dry, that's not normally the place where you put clothing that is just washed. So that's not a problem if you put it on the doorknob. And also, it's only a problem if it's in the normal place where it's put, and it's visibly wet. It's soaking, it's dripping. Like if you would touch it, your hand will get wet. What's called tofeach almanas latfiach. If it's just a little moist, then it's not a problem either. Number three, one has to make sure, this is not a Maris Ayin issue, not to put it near a heat source. The sun is fine, because as we learned in the third parak, you're allowed to cook in the sun. But I can't put it next to a radiator. I can't put it next to an oven, because that's fire. And that would be cooking the water that's inside, so that is not allowed. That could be an issue of a daraisa, forget a drabana, the marasayin. But this is a drabana. Rosh Shlomo Zalman has a heter, where he discusses, what about a jacket of a suit? What about a coat? So Rosh Shlomo Zalman's heter is, anything that is normally dry cleaned is not included in the Isser either. Because everybody knows that you didn't wash your clothes at home. So shirts and pants and the like, that you have to be worried about. What if somebody says, oh, I only have fancy shirts. I send them all to the dry cleaners. I don't know if you're machalik between Brooks Brothers versus others. I'm not sure. I think you might be shirt as a shirt. But in terms of suit jackets, nobody washes a suit jacket at home, or other types of coats. So that's what Sefer Shabbos quotes from Shlomo Zalman: "V'gam ein derech lachapso yishmakam lahakel litzloso b'Shabbos v'yontif hol ve'ein regilim l'shroso v'kuliyama yodim shenirtav me'ageshem v'yontif tvei." What's the raya? Because the chay adam has a case where you have dirty clothing of children that got soaked, and you just, you know, hanging them up. You can't wash clothes on. You can't wash it. But if the baby wet his clothing, putting him out. So everybody knows kids' clothing always get wet. So it's nikar me'elov that you didn't wash it. So that's the precedent that Rosh Shlomo Zalman brings for dry cleaned clothing as well. Okay, it's a big discussion, but this is an issur d'rabbanan.
Pouring rain out.
What about if it's pouring rain out? So the Chazal weren't machalik. Does it matter if it's pouring rain or if it's sunny out and the rain stopped? They're not machalik. They said even if it's raining. Even if it's pouring rain, to put it in the normal place where things are washed, so then usually it doesn't come up. Because where do people put it? Put it on the back of a chair, put it on a doorknob, just putting it in the laundry room. That's the problem. Okay, continuing. Ubimoch sheba azna. And the moch in the ear. A woman is allowed to go out with a moch in her ozen. Why? If she has some type of pus or mucus coming out of the ear, she's allowed to wear it in her ear in order to protect her ear. Rashi says in the Mishnah on yesterday's Amud, she no senes livloa lecha shel tzoas ha'ozen. Right, putting it in there to absorb the tzoa of the ozen. Most of the time when that could be a reason, but also the other reason that why we would put something in our ear is to protect the ear. Let's say somebody has an ear infection, so they could put something in the ear. Is one allowed to go out with a cotton ball that is stuck in the ear? Usually ear infections are generally most common in children. I remember once I had a Shiloh with a balabas who had an ear infection. It was very painful. Very painful for an adult to get an ear infection. And we had an air where we lived. But let's say if there was no air and you had to keep a cotton ball in order to protect the ear, to protect the eardrum. So could one do that without an air of putting a cotton ball all the way stuck deep into the ear? So Rav Moshe, again, talks about this. Ramosha in Yeradeya, Chelak Aleph Simin Sadeches. But Var Isha Shetziva. Oh, he wrote this in Luban. Wow, 1934. But Var Isha Shetziva Laharofim Shelo Yikansu Mayim Baazna. In Muteres, he talks about Bashas Tvila. Could she go to the mikvah with it all the way in? She could go to the mikvah. It kind of works together, as we've said. If she could go to the mikvah all the way in, the Zokshashi is going to take it out, so therefore she could go out on Shabbos with it. Well, it says Moch Vata Mitubal Bavazeline. Right, you put it in there, you stick it in, it causes a hermetic seal. So is there any issue? He says, And he matters it. Why does he matter it? Ramosha comes up with two issues of chatzitza. And Mamela has a ramification for walking out with it on Shabbos. Ramosha says, Shnemini chatzitza. Echad, dover chotzeitz, and this is important for contact lenses, this is important for anything loose, says Rav Moshe. Echad, the davar chotzeitz davuk al haguf, v'lo havi oso chelek haguf, roi klosh, yovo lov mayim, kvi mashu ata. One type of chatzitza is a normal type of chatzitza, a interference, a halachic interference stuck to the body, a band-aid, right, is a chatzitza. I don't know, wet paint that's above the skin, that is, right, something, chatzitzas, we know all types of chatzitzas that we try to remove. Chatzitza, right, a sticker on a kli is a chatzitza. That's one type of chatzitza. But there's another type of chatzitza. Vasheni, dekisa bedavar acheres aguf, where a different item is covering the body, but it's not stuck to the body. Kimo, ochez ba'adam b'kapsa yada, v'chadome, sheha'adam ba'atzmo, ein bo shum chisoron, rak shedavar acher ha'ochez b'gufo, ein ha'meniach sheyavo ha'mayim l'gufo. If a person is holding my hand, right, so then my hand is covered, but it's not that something that's stuck there, there's a separate entity that's blocking. V'shravayu ha'vechatzitza, that also would be a chatzitza. Also, if somebody is blocking my hand. But that part two, type two chatzitza, is only a problem by gufo. But by what's called makomos hamechusim, not makomos hamechusim, makomos hanistarim, right? The beis hastarim, shein tsarich labias mayim, actually a roy labias mayim. But beis hastarim, which we know the halach is water doesn't have to actually get into, but it just has to be roy to get into, inside the mouth, inside the eyeballs, inside, right? A woman doesn't have to keep her eyes open and her mouth open when she goes to the mikvah. No, she just can't have a chatzitza inside the mouth and a filling that's fallen out that's going to come out the next day, right? So says Rav Moshe, type 2 chatzitza only applies outside by a baka magula, but by a beis hastarim, so then only type 1 applies and not type 2. And therefore Rav Moshe says, let's say somebody has a loose something in the mouth. So l'chadchila, try to remove everything, but b'di eved, if there is something loose in the mouth, b'di eved, there wouldn't be a chatzitza, right? If it's just floating around in the mouth. If it's stuck, let's say between two teeth is stuck, so that might be type 1. Type of chatzitza. But if it's a loose, separate item that is not stuck on, says Moshe, avo min ha-beiz de'ein sham davar chotzeitz, rak da'adam ochez sham, u'mach mazeh ein amayim yichon lavosham, u'be'etzem ha-guf ein shum chisaron, nechshav roi lo b'yasmayim, v'kasher afsha ha-ochez ein miniach amayim lavosham, ein o'klum v'chulu. V'lachen k'sheira chatzitza kazu be'beiz ha-starim, she'ein tzorach sham b'yasmayim mamash, rak sham akam yeh roi lo b'yasmayim, fari hu roi be'etzem. V'hinei, and now he says, moch sheba azna nami, hu mimen chatzitza ha-beiz. The dummy la ochez ba'adam, the karzas if so sea, the inamok tavukbaz, that's stuck onto her ear, is just put into her ear. And if you put it all the way in, it is base hastarim, and therefore Moshe Mathers. V'chein etzem u'baser shemena shinayim. Havikin edvakim sham. If something's stuck between the teeth, he says, that's type 1. Machma shehem esubachim. B'makam dachu kazeh shemena shinayim v'chulu. B'moch sheba ozen, he would say, is type 1. Okay, that's what about contact lenses? L'chadchil, a woman takes out her contact lenses. That's what the post can talk about. B'di'evet, is that type 1 or is that type 2? Pashas, it seems like type 2. It's loose inside the eye. It stays on the eyeball. But to l'chadchil, obviously, we try to remove everything. Okay, so that's in terms of two types related to moksha. See, we did four lines. Moshe ba'azna, I'm sorry. Moshe ba'sandala next. So a moch, a little soft cushion inside in the sandal in the foot. Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel, v'ushakashul ba'sandala. It's only mutter if it's attached, because then there's no worry that she's going to take it off. Moshe kino l'nidasa, and a wad that or a pad that she puts in order to be able that she could go out b'shas nida. She doesn't want to dirty herself. Sava Rami Bar Chama lemeimar u'shikshur la ben yarkoseha. Rami Bar Chama says also it has to be attached somewhat between her thighs. Says no chash. Amar Rava says ain't no kasher lo. What are you talking about? She's not going to take this out. So this is even more lenient. Even if it's not kasher, even demois los lasuye. So it's a bit disgusting, so she's not going to, there's no worry that she's going to remove it. Boy, minei Rabbi Yirmiyah, minei Rabbi Abba, what does it mean that it's disgusting? Asta la beis yad mao, does it mean the item is disgusting? Or there's no handle on it, so like she's not going to touch it because her hand is going to get all dirty. So I'm like mutter. It's mutter if, in this case, if asta la beis yad, meaning even though it has a beis yad, and she's not going to have to touch anything that is dirty, still it is mutter, there's no worry that she's going to remove it. Itmar nami, amar Rav Nachman bar Oshia, amar Rav Yochanan, asta la beis yad, mutter. Asta la, if she, there's a beis yad, it's still mutter. Rav Yochanan, nafek b'ul the Beis Medrash, Rav Yochanan, one time went out to the Beis Medrash, Rashi, with a moch in his ozen, he was elderly, and he was having a lot of mucus coming out of his ear. And his friends argued because it wasn't kashur ba'azno. He went out to Rosh Hashanah. His friends got very upset at Rabbi Yochanan, the Gadol Ador. Okay, Rabbi Yanai nafik b'hula Carmelis. Rabbi Yanai went out to a Carmelis. V'chalukan alav kol doro, and the whole generation got upset at him. Whole generation. Finish for a minute. V'hatani Rami bar Yecheskel v'hu shekashul ba'azno. How did Rabbi Yochanan do it? How did Rabbi Yochanan go out with it? If we learned in the Brisa, it's got to be kosher ba'azna. It's got to be in there. Lo kasha ad mehadik ad lo mehadik. No, it depends. Rabbi Yochanan's case, he stuck it in his ear so tightly, he doesn't need shira. You don't have to attach it with anything. Rabbi Mary Cheskel is in a case where it's more loose, and therefore it's either got to be attached or stuck in tightly. One of the two. One of the two, right? Something's attached. Why do you attach to the ear? Not going to tie something to the ear. Unless it's attached around the ear, maybe. Wrap something around the ear to tie it on. Or maybe attached to some type of hat that one is wearing. Right? Some type of attachment. Ask the Ritva, as you might be wondering, why in one case was it only his friends and the other case the whole generation? Rabbi Yochanan, only his friends were upset at him. Rabbi Yanai, or the second Rabbi Yanai, the whole generation got upset at him. Says the Ritva, because Rabbi Yanai went out without any... Just find it. Rabbi Yanai went out with anything. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yochanan El Chaveirav. V'yishlamad Rabbi Yanai Hayanafik Afagav Delo Mahadik. The Kasavar, the Dafkal Rishas Arabi Masru Chachamim. Because his wasn't Mehudak Ezen, wasn't Makushar. It was nothing. So that's why everybody got upset. What are you relying on? Because he thought Karmelis was okay. Mashenkin, when it comes to Rabbi Yochanan, he went out, at least it was tightly in. Vaiter. B'piapel B'galagil Melach. So the items in the mouth. Right, interesting. These are similar to Ramosha's cases. Right, these are items, loose items in the mouth that one is allowed to go out to the street with. Pilpil l'reach hapeh. Pilpil is used for bad breath. That's why it's put into the mouth. Gilgal melach l'dorshini or l'dorshini. It means a toothache. Something's wrong. Yeah, a person has an issue with their teeth, so they put also something in order to help them. Or anything that can be put into the mouth, as long as it's put in before Shabbos, was okay. Like what? Zangvila. Right, it's ginger. Rashi says jinziru. Inami dirtsona. Rashi says kinamon. Right, so ginger and cinnamon, something like that in the mouth. Last line of the Mishnah had said shein toteves shein shel zahav. An artificial tooth, a golden tooth. Rashi had 2 days. We didn't mention it yesterday. Rashi and the Mishnah had 2 days. Whether this is one thing or two things, is there a comma or is there a two dots that this is explaining? Either way, some type of tooth that is there, that is unusual. Rebbe Mati, Rebbe allows one to walk out with it because we assume that she's not going to take it off, she's not going to be embarrassed about it. The Chacham Moser and the Chacham Asard, because it's Mishuna from other teeth, we're worried they're going to laugh at her and she's going to take it, and obviously talking about a type of tooth that can be removed easily and walk down on Amos. Amar Rebbe Zeira, Elo Shanu, Elo Shane, Elo Shane Zahav, Elo Shel Zahav. Rabbi Zeira says it's only Aser Shel Zahav because gold is different than the other teeth. Avol B'Shel Kesef Debri Yakol Moter. Silver, that blends in more to white. Silver is closer to white than gold is, and therefore silver is Mutter, even according to the Chachamim. Tanya Nami Halchi B'Shel Kesef Debri Yakol Moter. Shel Zahav Rabbi Mater Recham Ostrim. Same thing. Amar Abaya Rabbi Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar Kol Hu Sfira Lu. Abaya says all these shitas, these three opinions, all hold. They're called midi, dimiganyabe. Anything that she's embarrassed about, lo asi la'achuye. She's not going to show. That's the lashon. Anything she's embarrassed about, she's not going to show. What three cases are brought up? Rebbe Hata Amran. Rebbe is our case about the teeth. He's not worried. Anything she's embarrassed about. So what is she not embarrassed about? What do you mean she's not embarrassed about? She doesn't want to show it to people? 1 second. Rabbi Eliezer, and which Rabbi Eliezer sheet at the Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer poter bekovelos ubeslocha shel payatin. Remember, those were cases where a woman had a certain reach, a certain bad odor, and therefore she wore these perfumes around her neck. That was allowed. And Rabbi Shimon Elazar, the Tanya, Kalam Rabbi Shimon Elazar, he said earlier, Koshu lamata menasvacha yotzaba. Anything that is under the hat, she can wore out because we don't think she's going to take it off. L'malam ha'svacha in a yotzapa. But above the svacha, that is not needed to cover her hair really, she cannot go out with. Says the Rashba, just the imshat of the Gemara, what is the connection between these three items? And they're all meganyabay. I thought it was Bishum Tznius, the third one especially. It's just whatever's under the hat, she doesn't want to uncover her hair. What do you mean, meganyabe? So the Rashba says, no, all these three have to do with some defect. Have to do with a mum. That's what you have to say. Of course, look at the Gemara here. Abaye puts it all together. He says, it's all three. Right? The woman has a tooth issue, the woman has an odor issue, and the woman has a hair issue. Maybe she's losing her hair. Maybe there's something she doesn't want to cover up. She's balding. She doesn't want to take it off. That's the connection, you have to say, in these three. So in these three, said there are the, okay, Nira Lee, to call Hani Lo Nafkin Behu Elim Shemum. All three. Hilkach, Sabri Rabbanan, Dekivan de Mumanikar, since everybody realizes that the mum is nik. Everybody see, if they see the golden tooth, if they see the perfume, which they know is only worn by people who have an odor about them, they see all these. So to call it Aroa, so Yotze B'Shein Shalzav, Kfar Yu Yodea, we're not worried she's not going to do anything because it's already known, it's obvious. The Rebbe Savar, Ava Pisha Yakiru Shibalas Mum, Lo Shofo Machvi, Kihechid Lotes Gane, Baharos Mumea Baen, Vachin Tam Kippa Shotzemer, Shain Isha Makashetas Asma Baosa Kippa, Ela Isha Shi Karachas, Mipas Isha. That's what it must be, that all these three women have a certain type of mum, so Rebbe holds its mutter because everybody knows anybody. Anyway, so she's not going to do anything more. And the Chachamim, the ones who argue in these cases, might say, no. Maybe they argue by the tooth case, because maybe that one does not need care as compared to the other two, which is more recognizable. Okay, that's just the Rashba in terms of Pshat of the Gemara. Weiter. Says the Mishnah, Yotza b'sela sha'ala tzinis, a person who could go out with a coin on tzinis. We'll see in the Gemara that means a person has a wound on the bottom of their foot, and they put a coin under it for various reasons of protection. Habanos yotz katanos yotzos b'chutin, little girls could go out with strings, or little pieces of wood in their ears. Rashi has two deos. The first one we'll go with, that when a little girl got her ears pierced, and before they put earrings in, because in those days they didn't do it so young, but they didn't want the hole to close up, so they put little things, strings or little pieces of wood in the hole so it doesn't close up, so one is allowed to go out with that on Shabbos, because we don't assume they're going to take it out. And it's not considered a masa. Arvios, yotzos, reulos, women, we're not talking about, right, Arab women, Jewish women who lived in Arabian countries, yotzos, reulos, which is a type of veiled, over the head, over the face. Umadios perufos, or women from Midian called perufos. Perufos is a type of robe which was folded over one side to the other side, and it was held together, clasped together with some type of item, some type of coin, we'll see, or rock, or bow. They didn't have safety pins. They had to use something in order to be poreth it. That's what they go with perefas, v'chol adam. And anybody really could do this. Elo shedibur chacham and behove. But Chacham talked about who usually wear these items. Perefas al ha'evan v'ala egos al matbeya. And a woman could go out using a stone, a nut, or a coin, right, is in this, taking the robe to the other side. Ubilvachlo tifro v'chachila b'shabbos, as long as she doesn't do it on Shabbos. So the Gemara will ask, it seems to be a contradiction between these two lines. She can, but she can't. So we'll see. Gemara. Might sinis. What does sinis mean, basara? It means she has a wound on the bottom of her foot, and she's wearing putting the coin on the bottom in order for protection. So maestro sella, why does she use a coin for this? Ilema, call me the da kusha, malila. Is it because anything hard is good for protection? So level a chaspa. Why do you use a coin? Why do you use a coin? Use a shard. Use a shard of earthenware. That's pretty hard. So the elamishum suchta. No, it's because the coin has a little moisture on it. Right? It's mezia. So level a tasa. So just use a slab of silver. Use a piece of silver. You don't have to use a coin. Elamishum tsursa. Oh, maybe it's because of the image on the coin, like the little bumps on there are good for it. So level a pulsa. So just use a pulsa, which is, Rashi says, an agul shel eitz, v'yitzer olav. Another choice. Amar Abaya, it must be shvamina akulu ma'alan la. It must be because it has all of them. Right? A coin has all of these midos, all of these effects, attributes, and therefore they used to use that for to walk out on. So, no issue of hotzah. Why isn't there an issue of refuah? Shchika samamonim? Why isn't there an issue of refuah? So the Shita L'Ran here says, well, you prepared it before Shabbos. If you prepared it before Shabbos, so there's no, you put it in the shoe before Shabbos, you're not doing anything on Shabbos. So that's what he says. But there are other issues. Number one, is this refuah or is this just protecting? If it's just, oh, you're not allowed to put on a Band-Aid to protect infection, put on, if somebody gets an open wound on Shabbos, we say that you're allowed to put on hydrogen peroxide, whatever you put on there to wash out the cut. Why? Because that's not healing anything. That's protecting infection. Protection is not called refuah. The gzeirah of refuah is only when a person is sick and they take something to make them better. But preventative, as we've said, we spoke about taking, if I know I'm going to get heartburn from the chalent, I could take a Tums before I eat the chalent. because that's preventative. Once I have the heartburn, then I can't. If I feel a migraine coming on, I could take something to prevent the migraine. But once I have the migraine, until it gets bad, so then there's a middle time that you can't take anything. But preventative is mutters. That might be what's going on here too. That you're just preventing. You're putting the corner there to prevent it getting worse. Protection. So therefore, also, it wouldn't be a problem. Another answer might be, sometimes we say, if there's something that is never healed through medicine, that also is not a problem. Right? They say, like, let's say putting a warm compress on a stomach. Somebody has a bad stomach ache. So that's also, because when do you ever heal the average regular stomach ache with taking medicine? No, there's no medicine there, really. Right? Or what about putting ice on a bump? Getting down that swelling in such a way, you know, how do you get swelling down? So you put ice on it. Right, so that's another category of if something is not usually healed through medicine, that also just doing an action also could be mutter.
What about the case in the Mishnah with the salt, which I think was for?
What about the salt for the toothache? Yeah. The salt for the toothache. So probably maybe the answer there is salt is what's called machal briyim. Machal briyim is it's a food. So if I use a normal food for medicinal purposes, that's also mutter, right? If I never have chicken soup, but except when I have a cold, I have chicken soup. It's mutter. If I only drink vitamin water, not vitamin water, mineral water. If I only drink mineral water because I think that's healthier, right? That's a drink. That's machal briyim. We'll have to that later. A mission later on in the Masechta. Next, habanos yotzes bechutin. So girls are allowed to go out with these little strings. Abua de Shmuel lo ashavik lu labante denafki bechutin. Father Shmuel did not let his daughters, right, Shmuel's sisters, go out with these strings. Denafki bechutin. He didn't let them. Velo shavik lehu ganyan gabi adati. He also didn't let them sleep near each other in bed. Va'avid lehu mikvaus biyomini son. And third, we have this back in Maseches Nida, he used to build for them mikvahs during Nisan. He didn't allow them to go into the river during Nisan. Mumafsi biyomi Tishrei. And during Tishrei, when he allowed them to go into the river, he made sure he put mats on the floor for them to stand on. So why did he do all of this? So let's talk about each one. Loshavik lehu Yotzes bechutin. He didn't allow them to go out with the strings. What do you mean? The Mishnah says it's mutter. So why did he ask, sir? Bante davua de Shmuel did tziv onin hayu. They had fancy, colorful strings. They didn't have regular, plain strings. Therefore, there was a chashash by his daughters that they would show it to others, and that's why he did not allow them. He said, "You want these special, colorful strings? You can't wear them out. Can't wear them out on Shabbos." Number one. Well, shavik lehu ganiyan gabi adadi. He didn't allow them to sleep next to each other in the bed. Bekiruv basar and feel each other's body next to each other. Why? Messiah lele Rafuna. Is this like Rafuna? Tam Rafuna. Nashim hamisulalos zubazu. Rafuna says women who rub themselves against each other in order to get physical desire. Women who try to get excited from each other. Psulos lekahuna. They're pasul lekahuna. What does that mean? There was no maisabia. There was just physical excitement that they tried to give each other. What do you mean, psul kahuna? So, Rashi and Tosafot both say, a kohen gadol has to marry a be'ula. I'm sorry, a besula. Mitzvah daraisa. V'isha b'psuleha yikach. Not only can he not marry a grusha or even an almana, but he has to marry a, if a woman has an accident, and she's not a besula, so then can't, not mutter to the kohen gadol. So Rashi and Tosafot both say here that, that's what it means here. Psulos lekahuna lekohen gadol. She's not a besula shlema because she was involved in some type of act of semi-znus. It wasn't actual znus, but still, maybe on a derabbanan level, she is psulos lekahuna. So is that what the father Shmuel was worried about? Right, psulos lekahuna. And Rashi and Tosafot also both say, even though there was no kohen gadol anymore in the father of Shmuel's time, right? It was way a couple hundred years after, but still. Theoretically, psulos lekahuna. So lo says the Gemara. No, there's no. You're not forced to say avu d'shmul holds like this. Dinner of Rafuna. Savar. The reason he did it was ki hechiz lo lilfan gufan achra. He didn't want them to get their desire up and be physically excited. And that's what the more one is involved in that, the more one would want. And then they might come to be with men. Right, so that's why he did not allow it. Belav dafka that he held like Rafuna. Number two. Next, what else did the father of Shmuel do? Va'avid lehu mikvah biyomei Nisan. He used to build them mikvahs in Yomei Nisan. Why? What's the issue? Why didn't he allow them to go to the mikvah in the river during Nisan? Messiah lele Rav damarav. This supports Rav. Why? Because Rav says, Mitra b'marava. When it rains in Eretz Yisrael, you know how we know here in Babel? Sada Rabba Pras. Just look at the Euphrates. Right? If you see the river is overflowing, a lot more water, you know it's been a lot of rain. Meaning, when it rains, the rainwater eventually goes to the rivers. And therefore, the worry is, Savar Shelo Yirbu Hanot V'Nala Zochlin. The worry is that the rainwater will be marbe on the running water. What does that mean? Rashi explains here, based on a Mishnah Mesechas Mikvos, there are two choices for a woman to be tovel herself, or for anybody to be tovel themselves. One could use a mikvah. A mikvah is stationary water, what's called ashborin, stationary water, stationary rainwater. It was collected in a way that becomes a mikvah. I got a shayla last night. Somebody called me up last night. They got these little cookie cutters in the shape of chanukiyot, and they wanted to just go outside. They had a pail that caught rainwater. They wanted to put in the pail. I said, no, caught in the pail, no good anymore. Now it's shuvin, right? Got to go to the mikvah. It's also not a good precedent to have people just creating their own mikvah. No, got to go to the mikvah. But there are two choices: either stationary rainwater collected in a proper way. Right, though, without getting into what proper means, number one, that's number one. Number two is running water that comes from a mayan, that comes from an underground source, and it runs. So that one is moving. So either stationary water or moving water. Those are the two choices. But you can't mix and match, the Mishnah says. If I have running rainwater, that's possible. So what Rav was worried about here, and what Avuah de Shmuel was worried about, is that during Nisan, which is at the end of the rainy season, the rivers are bloated, and there could be more rainwater in this river than the water from the springs. And therefore, it would be possible to use for a mikvah. That was the chashash, and that's why during Nisan, he made his daughters, their old mikvahs, not to be able to go into the river. That's what Shalom Yirbu Hanot V'Nalas Ochlen. That was what he was worried about. Pliga, but who argues on this? One second. Upliga de Shmuel. Shmuel was not worried about this. His father was, maybe, but he wasn't. To Amar Shmuel, Nara Mikipe Mivarech. No, a river becomes blessed, becomes overflowing from itself. From itself, Rashi says on the fifth or sixth wide line, Misvato umi mekoro umi salo. Right now, a river doesn't come from the rainwater. Even if it looks bloated, ultimately it's coming from underneath. It's coming from its own sources. Tosa says that's what we hold. And that's why Tosa says our women go to the rivers all year. All year. That last line in Tosa's Da'amar. V'alze anu somchin litvo benaros afilu im gazlo ma'od. Tosa says we hold like Shmuel. Okay? But there are other Rishonim that don't. Machlokas Rishonim. In this regard. Upliga didei adidei. And the Gemara just adds on that even within Shmuel we have a stira. This previous line of Shmuel was that he's not worried about it, but the following is he is. Tamar Shmuel. Ein amayim etarim bezochlin, ela plas b'yomi tishrei bovan. The only time that you could use a river is during Tishrei. During Tishrei is the end of the summer, right? You're sure there's no more rainwater running off the mountains getting into the river. So that's when you could use it. But other than that, he was worried. So you see, even within Shmuel, it is a stira. Period. Okay, there's a lot more here. Just to mention maybe one point, and then we'll just finish up. The question that the Achronim deal with is that we know there's a concept called Hashaka. Hashaka is like a regular mikveh that we have. We have a little bit of rain, a little bit of rainwater in a certain type of receptacle that's not Makabel Toma, and we connect that to the main mikveh. When we go to a mikveh, most of that is not rainwater. Right, that's regular tap water, but it's connected through hashaka, through kissing, the halachic mechanism of connecting that to the rainwater. And that's fine. So ask the Ritva, ask other Rishonim and Achronim. So why here are we worried about the rainwater in the river? Why is it worse than hashaka? Why is it worse than there is rainwater in there? So that's what the Rishonim deal with. Why doesn't hashaka help? And most say hashaka only works to solve the problem of she'uvin and not other problems. Why? That's a good question. Because it's Darabana, not Daraisa, other issues. But that's the common answer. That Hashaka only solves the problem of Mayim She'uvin. Because it's drawn. But other problems, like majority of Notvin or others, it doesn't solve. Good, one more minute, let's just finish up. Parefes 11 v'chulu. The Mishnah says a woman can put this stone to wrap her robe. Amar Reisha Parefes. This last line of the Mishnah says she shouldn't do it on Shabbos. The previous line says she can. Amar Abaya Seifa Asan L'matbeya. The last line is talking about a coin. You shouldn't use a coin that you didn't designate before Shabbos. A stone, or maybe even if you did, if it's not always used. A stone, that's mutter, because you designated it for this purpose. But the coin we're talking about is a lav bar tiltel, Rashi says. So therefore, as well, you didn't designate it, so it's that's why it's a problem. I want to take this nut outside for my child, but there's no Erev. So I'm going to pretend, I'm going to be Marim. I'm going to trick and use it as a something to hold up my robe. Am I allowed to do that? And it's a question according to either person. Later on, when we talk about carrying things out of a burning house, are you allowed to just wear a bunch of clothes? Are you allowed to trick and wear a bunch of clothes? So it's a question according to either opinion. Tibay Lamanta Amar Ma'arimin, according to the Man Amar, says that's Mutter over there, Bidzleika, Hassam over there, it's allowed by the fire. Tilo Sharislay, Asil Chabuyim, because if you don't allow it, they're going to come to extinguish the fire. Aval Hacha, Ilo Sharislay, Lo Asil Afuke. But here, what's going to happen? They can't take the nut out for their child. Okay, what can you do? We don't have to allow it. O Dilma, or even if you say over there ain marimin bidleika hasam derech otzabakach, over there it's derech otzah, and therefore it's a problem. You're taking it out in a normal way. But here, where you're putting it up on your shoulder, maybe it's not a problem. Teku, no, the question is not answered if you have the improper kavana, but you do it in the proper way. Okay, we'll stop here. But again, I'll try sometime today to get the next daf up. Be'ez Hashem, we'll try to work it out. Okay, as we head towards the end of a Me'isha, Klal Gadol is on the horizon.